Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Ever thought about, like, if you had a walkout song like the baseball players do, what would your song be? Yeah, I think, like, that's a pretty good one. That's a good song by Imagine Dragons. And that song is really a representative of the cry of every human heart, and that is of the cry for hope. And that's what the series is really all about. We're glad you're here today and glad that we get to spend Sunday morning with you and that you took time to be here. My name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. And we just want to welcome you. I want to add my welcome. Welcome to Lee's and say thanks for being with us as we continue a study through the book of Hebrews. Before we go there, though, I just wanted to mention that this coming Wednesday night, we would normally have Women's Wednesday, and we're not having Women's Wednesday because the Lake Travis High School is having homecoming week, and their homecoming parade is on Wednesday night as well. And we know that lots of families like to go to that. So we're inviting our whole church family, if you want to come with us. We're going to meet right over, I think it's this direction, behind by the tennis courts, and we're just going to all hang out together, and then they're going to have food trucks. It's the extravaganza, so it's a big deal. Supposed to be fun this week, and it should be a good time. And then I want to mention something. We talked about our Vision Sunday a couple of weeks ago, and we said we want to seize every opportunity that God puts in front of us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to this community. And one of those opportunities, what we said was, we don't want to go and create all this activity, but we want to partner with existing organizations who are already doing activities that people in the community are coming to. So on October the 28th, on Saturday, October 28th, the Lake Travis Fire and Rescue and Lakeway and BK Police Departments are all coming in together to do the Public Safety Day. And we are going to be there and being just touching people with the love of Christ. And so if you are interested in being a part of that team that goes and participates in that day, please let us know on your connection card or email Lee, and he'll help you get connected in that way. Just 1 hour slot. So 4 hours, unless you want to serve all 4 hours, although that might be a little draining. So anyway, that's it. Again, we're starting this series. I thought this little story was funny. This week I read it. It says, I'm driving with this guy and he runs through a stop sign. And I say, hey, that was a stop sign. And he says, well, I drive like my brother. And a few blocks later, he plows right through a red light. And I say, you just ran a red light. And he says, I drive like my brother. So now we're coming up on a green light and he slows down. And I'm confused. So I say, it's green. Why are you slowing down? And he says, my brother might be coming. You'll get it later if you don't right now. That's okay. I tell that story because today we're looking at a story of two brothers who are found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're studying this book of Hebrews, and when we get to Hebrews 11, we find this list of people that throughout history kind of made the cast of characters and the who's who of the Hall of Faith. And we find this one mention of these people, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And we saw last week, the last time we saw Isaac, he was laying on an altar about to be sacrificed by his father Abraham, and God tests Abraham's faith in that way and then provides an amazing sacrifice in lieu of Isaac being sacrificed. And the next time we see him in this passage, Isaac is now a father. And so we'll read it together in chapter 11, verse 20. It'll come up here on the screen, and would you read it aloud and together with me? Just participate. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Now, this family story may be one of the most comforting stories in all of the scripture. Why? Because it's so incredibly dysfunctional. Anybody else relate to that, that has maybe some dysfunction in their family somewhere along the way? Well, this story is one of those that just is chock full of dysfunction. And you're going to get to see some of it here in this passage today. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, you can turn first to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25, and then we'll jump over to chapter 27. We'll get to the context of what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 is talking about. But beginning in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 25. You can bring those house lights up just a little bit so they can see their Bibles if they don't have it on their phone. But this is an awesome, awesome picture. Isaac has gotten married. He's now he's talking to God on behalf of his wife. In verse 21, it says, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren. I mean, she couldn't have any kids. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. Pretty awesome. And here's the context. The babies jostled each other within her. They were fighting and wrestling within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. She says, God, what's going on here? The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. Now, I don't want you to miss that. That's a big deal, right? I mean, especially in this ancient culture. Even today, I have four boys, and I think about how not happy Tyler would be if before he was born that God would have told Ashley that Blake one day was going to be his master, right? Like, that wouldn't go so well. I'm sure if you have older siblings, then you wouldn't probably mind if God said that you were going to be the master over them and that they were going to serve you. But in contrast, if you're the older one, it's not going so well. Like, it's not such a happy occasion for you whenever God says, "Hey, your younger brother is going to actually is going to be your master. Or you're going to actually have to serve him or her." And so they grow up, and you guys probably know the story if you went to Sunday school. If you're kind of new to church and this whole church thing, you might not have heard this story, but maybe you have, even in just like traditional story form. There's the story where Jacob actually deceives his brother and takes his birthright. You remember that story? And throughout their life, it's like that. And in fact, if you notice in Genesis 25, when they're born, it's actually 25 verse 24, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb, and the first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. And after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which literally means heel grabber. Conniver, deceiver, means one that's trying to trip up somebody else. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. And this is probably the epitome of their dysfunction right here. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Favoritism in the family. Favoritism in the family breeds dysfunction. Now, turn over to Genesis chapter 27. We're going to see a little bit more of this dysfunction happening here in Genesis 27. If you don't know the story of Jacob stealing Esau's, not only did he steal his birthright, but he's also going to steal his blessing of the firstborn that Isaac was going to give to Esau. If you don't know that story, it basically goes down like this in chapter 27. I'm going to tell it in short form, and then we'll read some of the passage. But basically, here's what happens. Isaac's about to die, and he's really old and says his eyes are weak, so he can't really see really well. And he calls in Esau, his favorite, and he says, "Hey, Esau, why don't you go kill me something and come back and cook it for me, and then I'll give you my blessing." And this is something that he's probably all along throughout the years been giving to Esau, but now he's going to officially bestow his blessing on Esau. Rebecca is listening in on the other side of the tent, and she hears what Isaac says to Esau, and she says, "Oh, I know what I'm going to do, because I remember what God told me." And so she goes and she says, I'm gonna not wait on God, but I'm going to fix this in my own timing. And so she goes over here and she talks to Jacob and she says, "Here's what we're going to do. You're going to dress up like your brother, and you're going to wear his clothes. And then you're going to go out and you're going to kill one of the best livestock that we have. And I'll cook it up just like your dad likes it. And then we'll put some furry goat hair on your hands so that you'll match your brother, and so you're gonna smell like him, and so you'll be all dressed up just like Esau." And the story continues on. I think it's interesting. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin." Verse 11. "But what if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." And his mother said to him, and I think this is going to be instructive in the coming moments. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say." Well, that's what mothers have said for years. "Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on the younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and smoothed part of his neck with goat skins. Jacob gets all dressed up. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. And he went to his father and he said, "My father." Isaac's old and he says, "Yes, my son. Who is it?" And Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. And then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" He gives him another chance to tell the truth, but he's lying and deceiving and living in that place of just longing for his father's blessing. "Are you really my son?" He says, "I am." Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." And Jacob brought to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. And then his father Isaac said, "Come here, my son." It's almost like he gives him one more test. "Kiss me." So he went to him and he kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, because he couldn't see, remember, he was old, and he said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed." I think this story is so interesting. It's so powerful because it demonstrates the power of blessing. One author writes this. He said, blessing is an accurate spiritual discernment of who the person really is. There's power in blessing someone. Powerful words speak into people's future and what they have in them and what the potential that you see in them. You encourage them to be who they are. If you've ever been blessed, like really blessed, you never forget it. Ashley and I were about to get married, and her mom and dad, they organized this event for us called a blessing shower. And so we're this engaged couple, and we're a few months from getting married. And, you know, you have a normal shower where people bring gifts to you and all that kind of stuff. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that fine china stuff that you never use. But whenever we had this shower, it was called a blessing shower. And her parents invited some people that had been spiritually meaningful in Ashley's life. So her youth pastor and another person on staff at the church and the pastor and some other youth leaders and things like that. And so we're gathered in this home, and I still remember it so poignantly to this day. I remember Micah Andrews blessing Ashley and I with friendship. Just friendship. That he just said, I bless you with friendship, and I bless you when one of you's down, that the other one of you will be up. Because Ecclesiastes says that if one falls down, if there's two there together, the other one can help them up. And so I just bless you that when one of you has something struggling going on. And I remember that to this day. And God's blessed us in that way. I remember Raymond Culpepper, Ashley's pastor growing up, and he spoke a blessing over us at our wedding. And he said, Jeremy, I believe that the greatest churches are yet to be built. I bless you to go and build it. And I remember that to this day, and it was so meaningful to me. I believe that about you, church, that you will be a great church that will make an incredible impact in this world, in this community. But I believe that that will be a fulfillment. The power of blessing in people's lives. When you see something in them and you speak that blessing, we see Jacob is longing for this blessing. And I believe that says something about us. I believe we all long for a blessing in our life. I think we sang a song a moment ago that says we don't want blessing, we want you. And the reality is we do want blessing. We might not call it blessing, we might call it affirmation, we might call it acceptance, but we want some sense of blessing. Notice this, Jacob comes to Isaac longing for blessing. And when he comes to him, he says this, and it's interesting. When Isaac asked Jacob, who are you? Remember, he's all dressed up and he's pretending to be Esau. But when he says it, Jacob replies and he says to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. A little bit later, whenever he asks Esau, who are you? He actually says, I'm your firstborn, Esau. It's an interesting contrast between the way Jacob answers and the way that Esau answers. Jacob answers, it's almost like he wants to get the lie out of the way and get to the part that he really wants him to remember. In Hebrew text, really, whatever said last, whatever said at the end is what kind of people hang on to, what they remember. So he wants that to kind of ring in his father's brain that I'm the firstborn. And Esau has no agenda, so he's not saying the same thing. But Jacob is pining for this. In this culture, the older son would always get the lion's share of wealth and the lion's share of all of the father's possessions and land. And everyone else was ignored. And we know this because Genesis 25 tells us that Esau was loved by Isaac. But Jacob was loved by Rebekah. Isaac, all the time, think about it. He doted on Esau. He showed his his informal blessing for years, just saying, I love you, and man, I accept you, and I show my attention and affection and affirmation to you all the time. And all the while Jacob is sitting on the sidelines. And so Jacob feels the need, like, I want that blessing from my father, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to get that blessing, and he exploits his father. Why is he exploiting his father? He tells us, he says in his words there, I should be the firstborn. I should be the firstborn. Give me blessing. Smile on me. Dote on me. Bless me. And what we have here is the cry of every human heart, that we all cry for the blessing of the firstborn. We all want that blessing the firstborn gets. When Isaac gave Esau favoritism, it created a confident man's man. Like, he's confident, he's driven. When he did that, he did the opposite for Jacob. He created a insecure, cold, shallow, impetuous, conniving man. See, we all need the blessing of the firstborn. We all need what God wants for us. We want the persons that we most admire in the world to say, there's no one like you. You matter to me. We need to be able to say that we're special, that we're unique, that we are loved. And that is, in essence, is what the scripture is saying that Jacob wanted here. Self-help gurus all in our culture will say, you just believe in you. You've got what it takes. Look within yourself, and then you'll feel complete health and complete fullness of life. And I would say that's not true. Here's the reality is, you cannot bless yourself. There isn't anyone here who says, everyone in the world thinks that I'm stupid, but I'm just going to tell myself that I'm smart. Like, if everyone else thinks that you're dumb, then you're going to feel dumb. You are looking for, craving the attention, affection, affirmation of other people. There is power in blessing, and I believe we need it. We need that kind of affirmation and blessing in our lives. Now, this is a very complex story. It really is. I mean, I think that you, with these Old Testament stories, sometimes you have to read them like hundreds of times just to get into the characters and see, where do I see myself in this story? Where is God working in this story? How am I supposed to interpret life in light of this story? And I think that we all can do this. And here's what I think, one place I see myself, and maybe you can see yourself, but I see myself in Jacob. Jacob is a frightening picture of how most of us try to get blessing. We dress up to try to be someone that we're not. He dresses up. He puts on Esau's clothes. He covers up with goat hair. He puts on even the smell. He hides his identity. And I think we're all doing this to some degree. How are we doing this? We aren't letting people see who we really are. We aren't, as in modern day vernacular, we're not taking off the mask. Why do I think that? I think some of us have jobs that we don't really like. But we do those jobs because we're trying to earn a blessing. We're trying to earn the blessing. So we dress up our self, and it doesn't fit our gifts, our passions, our unique abilities. It's not who we are. We take it for the status that it gives us. We take it for the provision that it gives us, so the world will bless us. Some of us dress up in relationships. We see someone who's smart or slick or rich, and if that is the person that will get loved, then that's who we want to be, and then I would be blessed. Some really dress up like someone we're not, to put on a persona. I remember, and I've shared this story before, I've struggled with this for years because my pawpaw was kind of a real success story, had grown up and didn't get more than an eighth grade education, but then went on to build his own business and had 21 convenience stores and a big grocery store, and did really well in Southeast Texas. And he really kind of raised me as a man, and really kind of instilled in me what it takes to be successful. So he would talk about all the time about that you got to dress for success. And I think I remember sharing with you guys about a year ago, he really didn't like me having a beard ever, because that really meant that I was not going to be successful in life, which is funny. I don't believe that, but well, maybe I do. I've shaved now. So, but here's the reality. I sense that, like, because of things that were spoken into my life as a young man, like, you've got to dress a certain way, you've got to be clean shaven, you've got to have all this stuff. Then I find myself really looking for approval by meeting those standards. There's a voice that is in the world that's saying that you can't be yourself and be accepted. You can't be yourself and be blessed. And so one of the ways we get blessing is to dress up and come to church. I think we do that. I think we say, I'm gonna do all these Christian things. I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna come to church. And when I come to church, guess what? I'm not gonna show anybody that I got issues going on. Like, I'm gonna pretend that I didn't just yell at my wife on the way to church, that I didn't look at pornography this week while I was at the job, that I didn't struggle with burnout, that I'm not depressed, that I'm not fill in the blank, that I'm gonna look like I have it all together, and I'm gonna pretend I'm gonna come to church, I'm gonna dress up so that I can get blessed, so that I can feel like that I'm accepted. Notice when Isaac is about to bless Jacob, he gives one more test. He smells him because he couldn't see him. And I think about this, and I think in the loss of vision that Isaac had in that moment, that he looked out and he smiled after he smelled his son, and he said, you know, this is my son, the one that smells like the field. And I just picture his face lighting up and looking into his eyes and giving him that kind of blessing and affirmation. And I think about Jacob and him getting Esau's blessing in that moment, and it just cutting to the heart of who he is, and realizing in one moment that while he got that look of approval that he always wanted, he knew it wasn't him that got the blessing, because he had just dressed up to get the blessing. So, what's the moral of this story? It's a sad story, isn't it? I mean, you're like, God, I come to church today to hear this sad story. Don't you have something more for me? Well, what's the moral of the story? It's to be better parents than these folks were. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that. There are lots of lessons on parenting here, not just one for our children. But let's bless all our children, not just one of them. Let's not have favoritism. But that's not the ultimate solution. First, what about all of us who are already out and who are already messed up? Like, we're 45 years old and we don't have any chance of our parents repairing the damage they did to us. So what about us? And so I think that's not really the problem here. The problem in this text is a spiritual problem. Notice at the end of this blessing and this story in verse 33, Esau, it's discovered that Esau has been robbed, and Esau tells his father that Jacob has stolen his blessing. And here's what's interesting. Verse 33, Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. You can tell there's some indignancy in his voice. I blessed him. But then there's a turn, and this is what this whole passage hinges on. And the turn is this next phrase. It's almost a relinquishment of his position, of him trying to usurp God's authority. He says, indeed, he will be blessed. He trembles. And then he says, God will get his way. The crook, the deceiver, he's so angry, but then he says, he will be blessed. I think here's what's happening. Isaac is realizing that God works through the curves, the crooks, the broken. He realizes God does work through and brings his grace into the lives of unworthy people. And at the end of the day, God's grace works in spite of us. Isn't that good news? In this story, there's almost nothing about Jacob that's appealing. I mean, read about Jacob's life. Like, he's like a main character in the next, like, 8 chapters of the book of Genesis. And there's almost nothing he does that is redeeming. He is a weird dude, okay? I mean, and isn't it just like God to choose the weirdest person for the blessing? This is purely God's grace working in spite of Isaac and Jacob. And the moral of the story isn't just if you have great families, God will bless you, and if you have bad families, that God won't bless you. That's not true. Here's the moral of the story. God is coming to bless the most screwed up member of your family. Now, if you're not screwed up, you might be at the wrong church. Because I think we're all a little screwed up. Maybe that word's offensive to you. I think that we're all messed up. God brings his most scandalous intervening grace into the lives of people that don't seek it, that don't deserve it, that continually resist it, and don't appreciate it once they've been saved by it. Isaac and us, we have to get a grip that God works sheerly by grace. So that's the first moral. So when Isaac says, indeed, God will surely bless you, he's recognizing God's grace. And also he's saying, I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept God's grace. One author writes this. He says, Isaac knows he's been fighting against God in this moment. And he finally accepts defeat. Remember God's word to Rebekah, and it's ringing in Isaac's ears at this moment. The older will serve the younger. See, Isaac wants to go the world's way. Isaac wants to go and make things the way the world wants it. And the world's always told him the firstborn is the one who gets the blessing. And Isaac wants to do it the world's way. Isaac doesn't want to do it God's way, even though God's told him to do it this way. Isaac wants to go the man's man way. I want the stronger boy to get the birthright. I want the stronger boy to get the blessing. I want the stronger one, the one that likes to hunt and fish and go out and be a man's man. I want him to get the blessing. No, God says that's not the one that's going to get it. Jacob gets the blessing as the weak one, as the puny one, as the outsider, the mama's boy. Indeed, he will be blessed. Isaac surrenders his resistance against God in that moment. How can we surrender our resistance? How can we get the blessing that we all crave? It's by accepting God's grace, by accepting our Heavenly Father's affirmation of us, by accepting what Jesus has done. Remember when Jacob says, I'm the firstborn? Remember that? He isn't really clued in to what's coming in the future. But here's what we know in light of that story. Jacob says, I'm the firstborn. The Bible says Jesus Christ was the firstborn over all creation. He's the firstborn from the dead. And what that means is that he was the first in all eternity to live in a state of blessing. Like God the Father always doting on him, always loving on him, always giving him all his attention, all his affection, all his affirmation. And I told our team this morning when we gathered with our volunteers, I wouldn't say this, but here's the truth. God continued to do that even when Jesus came to the earth. And when Jesus is baptized, it's a beautiful picture because Jesus gets the blessing of the Father. And when he comes up out of the water, God says, this is my son. He gives him absolute affection and affirmation in that moment. And he says, this is my son whom I love, in whom I'm very well pleased. We all want that. We all crave that. And here's what's interesting. Jesus gets the blessing from the Father as the firstborn over all creation. And he leaves that blessing behind when he goes to the cross for you and I. Here's what the scripture says. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. Why? He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, remember Isaac's father, the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And know what the Spirit says to us? You're loved and you're accepted and you're loved and you're accepted and you're loved and you're accepted and you're a child of the living God. By receiving Jesus as the firstborn, you in fact receive the blessing of the firstborn. There's an interesting passage in Hebrews a little bit later and we'll get to it, but Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23 says it this way. It says, to the church of the firstborn. Now, wait a minute. I have five kids and only one of them's firstborn, right? No, not in the family of God. In the family of God, we're all firstborn because we've believed in Jesus. To the firstborn, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous, made perfect by the blood of Jesus. You have been made righteous. So here's what we're doing. We're talking practical stuff, and the band can come. We're talking, practically speaking, faith for everyday life. What does this mean? And here's an identity issue for us that we need to wrestle with. And the identity issue is to believe the gospel. To believe the good news that God is speaking to us, that we are loved, that we are accepted, that we are his son and daughter in whom he is well pleased, that we've been accepted by him. Romans chapter 8, I won't refer to it, you won't see it on the screen, but Romans chapter 8 says that we have the Spirit of God living in us. And it's the Spirit that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. We can call on God as our Heavenly Father. And so, in practical terms, I think this affects everything we do. That we say, God, I receive this good news. I receive this blessing in my life. I receive your Holy Spirit in my life. And then once we get that deep down in the core of who we are, then we can go and bless others. Then we can go and share that blessing with others. Because here's what I think. I think a lot of us don't get really deep down in our soul. We don't get the blessing of God on ourselves. Like we don't really receive that God has spoken to us and said, you're loved and you're accepted. And so we go out and we try to do good things for people. And we do it for the, really, we're doing it nice things, not out of the goodness and blessing of God in our own life, but we're doing those nice things just to make ourselves feel better. But here's what happens. If we will get the blessing of God in our own heart, then we're not doing it so that we'll feel better about ourselves. We're doing it because we already feel good about ourselves. And we know that we're accepted. We know that we're loved. And so we can't help but go and share that blessing with other people. And so, like, when we go do things like Public Safety Day, and we go and we talk to people, and we throw cornhole with kids, and we give out candy, and we do that kind of stuff, we bless others. Not because we're trying to gain God's approval, but because we've already gained His approval. We've already been accepted. No matter how messed up we are, God says, come to Him. He welcomes you into His family. And then He begins a work in our hearts of helping us know we're loved and accepted. And then once we do that, then He sends us out. So today, maybe you're here and you're craving the blessing of God just to speak into your life, to say, you're my son, you're my daughter. And I want to invite you to receive that grace in your life. Or maybe you're here and you've been trying to earn God's favor by good works, and you've just been trying to do more and more, and you're kind of on the little hamster wheel of just running the rat race. And God's saying, you can't do anything except by faith receive this gift that I want to give you. And so would you receive that gift here today? Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you would say, Jeremy, I've been looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. I was like Jacob, and I've dressed up to try to gain people's approval. And today I want to exchange my dress-up clothes for the clothes of righteousness that Jesus will provide me. Would you pray a simple prayer that just is a prayer of faith that says, Heavenly Father, here I am. I receive the work that Jesus did on the cross, becoming a curse for me so that I didn't have to be cursed. Forgive me of my sin. And lead my life. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And lead my life as your son so that I can go and bless others with my life. For those who are here who are Christ followers and you've already made that faith commitment to Jesus, but maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking something else to you today, and maybe He's just talking to you and whispering that He's more than enough. He's more than enough to heal the deepest wounds in your heart, that you don't have to pretend. You don't have to put on a happy face, but you can come to Him just as you are. And He'll continue that work of healing in your heart.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.